Good morning, church. How are we doing?
Thank you, Will.
Well, I am not Pastor Chris, as you may well know. My name is Brennan, and I am the Director of Development here at First Baptist Owosso. And also currently, I serve as the Executive Director for the Mission Center. And it is really good to be here with you this morning. It's been a while since I've done this, preached in front of a bunch of people. And so forgive me if I stutter, forgive me if I seem nervous, but it's just been a while since I've done this. But I am excited to be here and continuing our sermon series, Unparalleled. And so this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, not chapter 7. If you were over at the main campus for Bible study, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, we're going to get to that in just a minute. I'd love to just get started this morning by saying this. There's a whole crew of people that work really, really hard to make sure that we can do church in a couple of different locations. And so if you're part of that crew of loading in, loading out, tech, broadcast, if you're a greeter that's serving overtime than what you committed to, if you just slip your hand up for just a second, I just want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you. Thank you for making this seem seamless. Good job and well done. If you're a parent in the room with kids, raise your hand. You'll be able to spot the parents around the kids. If you're a parent in the room with kids, I just want to say you're doing a great job with having your kids in big church. Way to go, parents. Keep up the good work. Keep bringing them. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so we're in this sermon series. It's called Unparalleled. And unparalleled, I have a definition for you here. It's having no equal or match, something unique and exceptional. And we're in this sermon series called Unparalleled. And it's the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is really teaching us how to live a life that is unparalleled in Christ, how to live a life in Christ that is unparalleled, all right? And so that's kind of where our sermon series is coming from. It teaches us how to live that unparalleled life with the creator of heaven and earth and the sustainer of all life, and that is Jesus, all right? And so far in this series, in Matthew chapter 6 alone, just the last couple of weeks, we've covered giving to the needy, we've covered how to pray. We've learned about fasting, and in today's episode of the Sermon on the Mount, we get to discuss how to use what God has entrusted to us. And so before we jump into all of that, I would just like to say, or I'd just like to take a moment and pray, if you would join me in prayer. So everybody go ahead and bow your head, close your eyes. If you're watching online, bow your head, close your eyes, join us in this room in prayer. And what I'd like to ask you to do is this. I'd like to ask you to first pray for yourself that today God's word would reign over your heart and that he would speak to you. And then I'd like to ask you to pray for the people around you. It may be your family, it may be somebody that you don't even know, but I'd just like to ask you to pray for the people around you that God would do the same with them. And last, I'd like for you to pray for me, that as I deliver this message, that I would speak only what God has in store for me to speak today. God in heaven, I have been praying over these people that are in this room, that are watching online. God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Would you show us how to use who we are and what you've given us for the glory and honor of your son, Jesus' name. And it is in your son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, today we're in Matthew chapter 6, as I said. We're starting in verse 19. And before I read that, I'd just like to kind of give you our big idea of today. So remember, we've been through prayer, we've been through fasting, and we've been through giving to the needy. Today, our big idea is that our treasure, your treasure, reveals who and what you trust. Your treasure reveals who and what you trust. And so let's just dive right in. And before, actually, sorry, I keep doing this. Before we dive right in, kids in the room, there's going to be some notes on the screen. And there's a little bit of a scavenger hunt that's going to lead you to a word at the end of this message. And I hope you'll get that. I hope you'll find that. Adults, you can play along too. If you're still young at heart, you can play along too. But there's a scavenger hunt for a special code word at the end of this message. And at the end of the message, I'm going to give you an opportunity, like Christian did, to yell and scream what that code word was if you got it, okay? All right, so let's jump into God's word this morning. If you will, stand in honor of God's word. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, it says this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And this is the word of God. Well, this morning, as we focus on that word treasure a little bit, we see here in Matthew that Jesus is challenging us to shift our focus from our treasure to focus our heart on heaven. That's our first point this morning. He's challenging us to focus our heart on heaven. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Guys, earthly treasures fade, they rot, or they're stolen. In your lifetime, how many times have you gotten that thing or found that treasure only to lose it in a year or two? That's just the reality of earthly treasures. They either rot, the batteries decay in it, or you lose them, or they get stolen, right? That's the reality of earthly treasures. Heavenly treasures, on the contrary, are secure and eternal. Heavenly treasures are secure and eternal. And we are called here to live for a greater kingdom, not temporary comfort. We're called to live for a greater kingdom, not temporary comfort or treasures. We have two options. We can store up treasures here on earth, or we can discipline ourselves to the point of availing generosity in our lives so that when the opportunity arises, we can execute on that. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later, but it's a couple of supporting passages here of being called to live and focus your heart on heaven. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercies, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith and for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the testing tested genuineness of your faith more precious than gold that perishes through its tested, though is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You believe in him and rejoice with him with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, our true treasure is in our salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Second thing we see here in Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Second thing we see is that we have to align our values with God's kingdom. We must align our values with God's kingdom. I have a picture. I think it made it up there. It's a picture of my son, Brock, who's sitting right down there, slouched down. You can't even see his head. But there's a picture of him. We had to order a replacement toy the other day. Have any of you had to do that before? Maybe your dog's destroyed it. We had to order a replacement toy the other day, and it's Amazon. It's fast, right? It's going to be here tomorrow. I ordered it at like 11 o'clock yesterday, and it's going to be here tomorrow, which was today, right? Between 4 and 8 a.m. And Brock, all day yesterday, from the point we ordered that thing all the way through the end of the day, looked like that. Is the picture coming? I mean, if I'll mime it because it's just a great picture. Our front door is glass, and he is sitting there like a child, look with his hands and his face pressed against the glass, waiting for his toy, waiting for his treasure. He's waiting all day long. He's, Daddy, when's tomorrow? Daddy, when's tomorrow? All day long, Daddy, when's tomorrow? Is it tomorrow yet? And he's sitting there waiting. Various points throughout the day. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. But it reminded me that's what we sometimes do when it comes to that next earthly pleasure that we want. But how many of us are doing that, waiting on Jesus? Jesus, are you coming back yet? Jesus, are you here yet? The world's only getting scarier. Are you coming yet? We must align our values with God's kingdom. Jesus, again, draws a sharp contrast between earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. And there's really a choice that we have of where we will invest our lives. Where will we invest our time, our talent, and our treasure? Where will we invest those resources that God gives to us? We must prioritize God's kingdom, and that will reshape our heart. Guys, stewardship is spiritual, not just financial. Stewardship is all-encompassing. As Chad said earlier today, it's intentionality with our lives. It's intentionality with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." By the way, it doesn't mean you're just going to get all those things that you ever wanted. But it talks about our needs will be met. When we steward our time and talent and treasure the way that God wants us to, our needs will be met. All right, Matthew 22:36 to 39 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so if you're questioning, how do I know if I'm stewarding my time, talent, and treasure well? If you're questioning that, you ought to maybe look at this. Are you loving God with everything he created you to be and do and to have? And are you loving your neighbor as yourself? It's a great evaluative point there. Point number three is illuminate your life with the truth. Illuminate your life with the truth. Matthew 6:22 through 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Folks, what we fix our eyes on shapes our souls. Are we fixing our eyes on God's word? Or are we fixing our eyes on the next possession we think we need? If your vision is clear and kingdom focused, your life will be full of light. But divided vision leads to darkness and confusion. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And kids, a quick connection here. Kids in the room, you probably got this pen this morning. And it's a sunshine, right? It's a sunshine on your pen that you got to put on your kid's pack. And I hope that this reminds you that God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our lives, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." If we're going to illuminate our lives, we must focus on Jesus. The next point is this: trust God, not gold. Trust God, not gold. Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Folks, I've learned this in my short time here on earth. Money makes a poor master. Money makes a poor master. It always demands more. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be wise with your finances. You absolutely should, because wisdom in your finances allows you to be generous with your time, talent, and treasure, right? But money always demands more. If I invest this much, then I'll yield this much. And if I yield this much, awesome, but I could have yielded more if I invested more, right? Money makes a poor master. It always demands more. Trusting God frees us from anxiety and greed. It frees us from anxiety and greed. I can't tell you the number of times that I've asked God forgiveness for this, so I'm not in sin. But I can't tell you the number of times that I have been called to be generous, maybe with my time, talent, or treasure, and I said no. Do you know why? Because my finances were not in line. My finances weren't quite right. I was worried about this with how am I going to pay for that thing? How am I going to do this thing for my kids? And so that distracted me from the ability to say yes to being generous with my time or with my talent. And so, but trusting God frees us from that anxiety. It frees us from freezing up when we're called to be generous. Folks, you serve what you seek, and you become what you behold. I debated whether or not I would tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm a big Jeep guy. I don't own one. Any Jeep people in the house or online? Any Jeep people? I know there's one right back there, and I don't know where Steve's at. I know he's got a sweet Gladiator, and Jim's got a Gladiator. There's a few Jeep people in the house. I'm glad that we have some representation here. You'll understand what I'm about to say. I love Jeeps. They're amazing vehicles. You can take the top down, cruise around town with the wind in your hair. Some of you will get that later. I love them. I long to have one. I desire a Jeep that I can kick the doors off and just freely roll around town. Some of you that have one, if you want to let me borrow one, that'd be great. Just let me know when works for you, okay? All right. But if I give in to my fleshly desire for a new vehicle, what am I doing? I'm trading a paid off 2012 Dodge Ram with 218,000 miles on it. I'm trading that for a $700 minimum payment. When I do that, it will tighten our purse strings. It will tighten our wallet. Our budget will be tighter. And I already know from past experience, when our budget is tight, I tend to be tight with my generosity. And that's something that if we're going to love our neighbor as ourself, we just cannot do. All right? And that, friends, is just God-ordained financial wisdom that leads to generosity that's been spoken into my life by my wife. Chelsea, thank you. Thanks for helping our family learn to be generous. 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and perceived themselves with and pierced themselves with many pangs." Proverbs 3:5 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." All right, as we enter into this last point, I've got some friends that are going to come up to the stage. And so Mia and Nora and Reese and Ren, if y'all want to make your way to Miss Amber over here, she's going to help you get up here. But Matthew 6:24 says this, it says, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money." Friends, Jesus demands full devotion, not part-time faith. We can't split our loyalty between Christ and the world. God is worthy of your all, your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength. And we're gonna play this out. Oh, look, Brock and Knox came. Y'all are going to get a little bit of feel of my world. So, Reese, I want you to come stand right here. Stand right here. Everybody else, come this way. Line up on either side of Reese. I'm going to just position you. This is my other daughter, Ren. This is Knox, all right. Mia and Nora, if y'all want to stand right there. All right, come stand right over here. Just stand kind of in a line right over here, Mia. Come over here, Brock. Come here, buddy. Yeah. If you can't tell, I used to be a youth pastor. So, Reese, if you'll turn and face me, I'm going to back up here on this orange X. And I'm going to just demonstrate something. So, kids in the room, if you're out there or you're online, I want you to just kind of watch and see what's going on. You guys, right here, all of you, and all of you, your job is to distract Reese by any means necessary except for grabbing her, all right? Distract her. Invite her to play. Just yell her name. Just anything you want to do. Can we practice that real quick? Can you practice? Distract Reese. Ready, go. All right. You got to say, "Reese, come play with me. Reese, over here. Come over here." Can you do that? Ready? I know, don't pay attention to them. They're not even here. Just act like they're not even here. Ready? All right, ready? Let's practice one more time. Ready? Go. Oh, man, I thought this would go so much better. It's okay. All right. One more time. Let's try. You just got to find your voice. I know it's scary being up here. You just got to find your voice. Maybe Miss Amber can come help. And maybe you can come help us. Come on, give it up, Miss Amber. Okay, now let's try one more time. Y'all are going to distract Reese, Miss Amber. Show them how to do it. Ready, go.
Reese, come on right here, Reese, you want to be here. Come on, Reese, don't come on in over here.
See? That's all you got to do. Now, Reese, there's a lot of distraction. I need you to listen to my voice and do what I tell you to do. Ready?
Come on, Reese.
Distract her. Reese, touch your nose.
Listen, we're going to have the best.
Reese, touch your shoulders. Reese, put your arms up. Reese, take 5 bunny hops this way.
You gotta come play with this side.
All right, 2 steps and you're done.
Reese, wait.
Good job. Give it up for these kids. Give it up for Miss Amber. Y'all can exit stage left. There's some Tootsie Pops down there on the end of the stairs. Go find Miss Amber. She'll help you get your suckers, all right? My point in that is this. It can be really, really challenging to hear God's voice. it can be really challenging because there's so much good in the world. I know that's contrary to what I said at the beginning, but there's so much good in the world. There's so much to treasure and behold this side of heaven. But friends, can I tell you that when you listen for God's voice, you will hear him. And he will help you in this struggle to be heavenly minded. The challenge is super real. Hearing God's voice it can be difficult. Distractions are everywhere. Like when I drive by the Jeep dealer every single day. And they have those sick orange gladiators. If anybody's willing, it's fine. How do we battle against the temptation to build a world of material wealth for ourselves? I think Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 puts it beautifully. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Friends, are you focusing on God's word morning, noon, and night? Are you embracing accountability in your life through our small groups? Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? If it's not in heaven, today is the day to realign your life by faith in Jesus Christ. And remember that little word. Did anybody get it? Faith. Did you get it? It's going to be right up there. Focus on heaven. Align with the kingdom. Illuminate your life with truth. Trust God and hold nothing back. Obedience demonstrates the genuineness of our faith. Don't live for what fades, live for what lasts. Romans 10, 9 through 11 says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Friends, Jesus does not need your treasure. He desires your undivided heart. And maybe your heart is a bit divided. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Well, today I invite you. We're going to have our pastors down front here. And this has traditionally been the time in the service where we invite you and you make all kinds of excuses not to come down here, not to deal with whatever God is dealing with in your heart. I hope that you will do that today. I hope you will come forward and deal with whatever God is dealing with in your heart today. I'm reminded of a reflective poem by a missionary, C.T. Studd. For the sake of time, I'm just going to share with you the last three stanzas. It says this: give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Staff, if you'll make your way down front, we're about to enter into our time of invitation. And I believe we're about to hear a new song, new to us. Christian actually wrote it. It's called Lay It All Down. And it really speaks to the heart of this passage. Our earthly treasure will absolutely decay. It's time to put our full faith in Christ. And so how is God dealing with you in your heart today? Let today be a day of salvation. If you need to be baptized, come tell someone. If you're struggling and just need help with whatever that is, we're here to help. Your staff wants nothing more than to serve you. So today, I'm going to challenge you to move if God is moving in your heart. Come down front, speak to a pastor, pray with a pastor. And if you have kids and that you don't want to leave them alone, bring them with you. We have plenty of people down here that can help corral kids, all right? We got plenty of people that can help. Our kids minister's right there. She'd be happy to, right? All right. If God's saying move, let's move this morning. God, I pray today would be a day of change, of salvation. I pray today would be a day that you just move in our hearts. God, help us to make wise, earthly decisions that lead to future generosity. God, we're grateful for this church. I'm grateful for this team. It's ready to receive your people. In your name I pray. Amen.